This morning, I want to talk to you about two words. These two words separate everybody in the auditorium this morning into one of two groups. These two words will determine where you spend eternity. These two words will decide what you do with these two words will decide whether you will go to heaven or whether you will go to hell. So these two words are important. These are words, two words that we need to listen to this morning. And these are two words that if you haven't acted on them yet, you need to act before this service is over. What are these two words? Some people might think the two words are church member. But no, those are not the two words I'm talking about. I believe in the New Testament church. I believe that if God leads you to a church and leads you to join that church, you ought to join. But you can join every church in Clio and still go to hell. Church membership will not take you to heaven. Some people might say these two words are immersion baptism. No, the two words are not immersion baptism. I believe you ought to get baptized, and I believe you ought to get all the way under baptized. I believe you ought to be immersed, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. But I can fill up the tank, and I can baptize you 18 times, and you'll still go to hell if you don't act on the two words I'm going to talk about this morning. Some people might think the two words are the Lord's Supper. No, the two words are not the Lord's Supper. I enjoy the Lord's Supper. I look forward to the first Sunday of every month when we partake of the Lord's Supper. It reminds me in a special way what Jesus did for me when he went to the cross. But you can take the Lord's Supper every single day and still miss heaven. The Lord's Supper will not make you right with God and bring you into heaven for eternity. Some people might think the two words are good works. No, the two words are not good works. I believe you ought to do good works. I believe you ought to be kind to people. I believe you ought to love others. I believe you ought to show that love by actions. But the Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Some people might think the two words are pure life. No, the two words are not pure life. I believe you ought to live a holy, clean, pure life. But the kind of life you live will not make any difference whether you enter the gates of heaven or the portals of hell. I mean, we ought to live a good life, especially those of us that are saved. But our good works and our good life will not get us into heaven or keep us out of hell. Well, if it's not church member, if it's not immersion baptism, if it's not the Lord's Supper, if it's not good works, if it's not pure life, what are the two words that make a difference? What are the two words that decide whether we go to heaven or we go to hell? We find those two words in one of the verses that we read a moment ago. If you paid attention to the title of my message this morning in the bulletin, you know what those two words are. But they come from John chapter 1, verse 12, where the Bible says, "But as many as received..." That's one of them. "Him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe." That's the second one. "In, on his name." Believe and receive. Believe and receive. Those are the two words that make a difference. Those are the two words that determine where you will spend eternity. Believe and receive. Those are the two words that will determine whether you spend an eternity in heaven with God or you will spend an eternity in hell apart from God. So believe and receive. Believe and receive. You've got to do both of them. Believing is not enough. Now look, I can believe that Brother Dwayne down here wants to give me $20. I know he's got $20. I need $20. I know he wants to give it to me. And I can believe that all day long. But unless I receive it, I don't got $20. Now listen, don't anybody come up to me after the service and say, "Pastor, I believe that you're going to give me $20. Because you will not receive. But believe and receive. You got to do both of them. And the Bible gives us many illustrations of those two words when it talks about salvation. I want to mention three of them this morning. First of all, the Bible says that salvation is like taking a drink of water. Now listen, this water is good water. I guess it's good water. I tasted it a minute ago. It tastes pretty good. I can believe all day long that if I take a drink of this water, it will quench my thirst. I can believe from the bottom of my heart, I can believe with all my being that if I put this bottle to my lips and I take a sip of this water, that this water will quench my thirst. But until I receive it, until I actually take a sip, my thirst will not be quenched. Listen, I want to tell you, if you're here today without Jesus Christ, you have a thirst in your soul. You have a spiritual thirst that the Bible talks about. You need a spiritual drink. Jesus said to the woman at the well of Sychar, whoever drinketh of this water, he was talking about well water, but whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Look, I can believe that Jesus can give me that water. I can believe that Jesus can satisfy my thirst forever. And I, by the way, there's too many people in the world today that are drinking out of the wrong well. They're drinking the wrong water. They're believing in things and they're receiving things that make no difference to eternity, that make no difference between heaven and hell. You need to get to the right well. You need to drink the right water. You need to take a drink from the well that never runs dry. You need to take a drink from the water that if you drink it, you'll never thirst again. And I can believe that Jesus can give me that water. I can believe that he can give me a drink that satisfies my soul. I can believe that he can give me a drink that will lead me into heaven and forgive me of my sins. But until I receive it, until I drink it, it's not going to do any good. It's believe and receive. Believe and receive. Salvation is like taking a drink of water. You got to believe it'll quench your thirst, and then you got to receive it and take it in to have that thirst quenched. So, salvation is like taking a drink of water. Salvation is also like eating a piece of bread. I brought a piece of bread this morning. I don't like white bread, I like wheat bread. So I got a piece of wheat bread with me this morning. If I'm hungry, I can believe that this bread will satisfy my hunger. I can believe that it's good bread. I can believe it's healthy bread. I can believe that if I eat it, it will fill me up. Now, by the way, I don't usually like plain bread by itself. I like to put something on it. Butter. Not this oleo stuff. The real thing, butter. Amen. You ought to be able to say amen to that, if nothing else. Peanut butter. Jelly. Boy, I'm getting hungry, but anyhow, I can believe that this bread will satisfy my hunger, but until I receive it, and I'm not going to take a bite of this because I want to dry out my mouth. It's dry enough already. But until I receive it, and until I take a bite of it and take it into my mouth, I will remain hungry. It's not until I receive it that it does its work. I can believe, but until I receive, my hunger will never be satisfied. Look, every single person here without Jesus Christ, if you'll be honest this morning and admit it, there's something missing in your life. There's a hunger in your soul. And you may not be able to identify it. You may not be able to tell us what it is, but there's something that's missing in your life. Let me tell you what that is this morning. You were created and made to fellowship with God. And if you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you're missing the reason that you were made. That there's a part of you that's only going to be satisfied when you come to Christ, get saved, and have a relationship with your Creator God. And until you do that, there's always going to be an empty spot. There's always going to be something missing in your life. This morning, I want to tell you about the bread of life. I want to tell you about the one that said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. That's what Jesus said. I'm the bread of life. You have a hunger in your soul. You have a part of you that cannot be satisfied. Look, the world offers all sorts of things to try to satisfy that hunger. And people try them all the time. And they may satisfy for a while, but that satisfaction will not last. That hunger comes back. The only thing that will satisfy that hunger on a permanent basis is to come and eat of the bread of life and know what it is to know God and have a relationship with Him. It's believe and receive. Believe and receive. Number three, salvation is not only like taking a drink. Salvation is not only like eating a piece of bread. Salvation is like getting married. Getting married. Brother Jack, you and Janice, stand up for a minute. You're close. How long have you two been married?
52 years.
When's your anniversary?
June the 11th.
June the 11th. All right, so you just celebrated a month ago. Yeah. All right, so I want to take you back before you got married. Did you love her?
Yes.
Do you think she'd make a good wife?
Oh, yes.
Before you got married?
Oh, yes.
Before you got married. And Janice, before you got married, did you love him? Did you think he'd make a good husband? You were hoping, right? You hadn't thought about it. But you loved him.
Yeah.
All right, now I want to take you back. Did you get married in front of a preacher? Did your dad marry you?
No, my dad didn't.
Okay, but you got married in front of a preacher. Right. So you went before a preacher, and the preacher said something like this. Jack, do you take Janice to be your lawful and wedded wife? And do you promise before God and these witnesses that you will love, honor, and cherish her, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, or poorer, in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, keep thee only unto her as long as you both shall live? And what did you say?
I said, I will.
Good. Were you married at that point?
Not quite.
Not quite. The preacher turned to you, Janice, and said, Janice, do you take Jack to be your lawful and wedded husband? And you promise before God and these witnesses that you will love, honor, cherish, and obey him, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, keep yourself only for him as long as you both shall live. Now, you hadn't said anything yet. Were you married yet?
No.
No. When were you married? When you said, I do.
Yes.
Right? And the preacher pronounced you husband and wife. Right? All right, you sit down. Thank you. Now listen, Jack could have believed and believed and believed, just like every husband could believe and believe and believe that the lady he stood beside at the marriage altar was going to be a good wife. And he loved her. And every wife here could have stood at that same altar and believed that, or know that she loved that guy and that he was going to be a good provider and take care of her. And they stood there together, but they weren't married. They believed. They believed that they were supposed to get married, and they believed they loved each other, and they believed they were going to be good for each other. But it wasn't until they both said, I do, and received each other as husband and wife, and the preacher pronounced them husband and wife, that they were married. I want to tell you something this morning. The Bible compares salvation to marriage. Jesus is the groom, and the church, us, are his bride. I want to tell you something this morning. Jesus has already said, I do. Huh? He's already said, I do. He's already said, I do. Now, he's waiting for the bride to say, I do. That's us. Many in this room this morning, if you've already made that decision, you've said, I do. You've received Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've been taken. You're a part of the bride of Christ. But some of you here this morning, you can believe that Jesus is a good Savior. You can believe that he'll make you right with God. You can believe that if you trust him, he'll keep you out of hell and get you into heaven. But until you receive it, until you say, I do,
amen,
you're still going to hell.
Amen.
You got to believe and receive. Believe and receive. That's what salvation is. One more illustration and I'm done. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. If any man enter in by me, he'll be saved. He said, I'm the door. So getting saved is like going through a door. So here's a door over here I'll use for an illustration. All right? This door is Jesus. He's the way to salvation. Now, I can believe if I go through that door, I'm going to be saved. I can believe it. And it doesn't matter. I mean, I can believe it standing right here, right next to the door, or I can believe it all the way over here, as far away as I can get, that if I go through that door, I'm going to be saved. I can believe that. It doesn't matter how far you are away from the door. It doesn't matter, you know, what distance you have to travel to get to the door. That's why it doesn't matter where you are this morning, you can get saved. It doesn't matter if this is your first time in church or if you've been in church 100 times. It doesn't matter how far away you are from the door. It comes down to believing that if I go through that door, I'm going to get saved. And it's not getting closer to the door that gets me saved. I can get closer and still be lost. And I can get closer and still be lost. And I can get closer and still be lost. It's not till I go through the door, I'm saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You got to believe and receive. Believing is not enough. To them gave he power, to the sons of God, those that received him and believed on his name. Now listen, many people here this morning, you've done both. You've believed that Jesus would save you and you've received it. But there's others here that have not. You say, preacher, I want to. What do I need to believe in order to receive? Well, a couple things. You need to believe that you're a sinner. Bible says everybody's a sinner. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number two, you need to believe there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. Not physical death, but spiritual death, being separated from God. You need to believe, number three, that when Jesus went to the cross and died on the cross, he paid for every one of your sins. What he did on Calvary. As he hung on Calvary, God put on him every one of our sins. My sin, not in part, but in whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. He paid for every sin. That's what you need to believe. I'm a sinner. There's a penalty for sin. Jesus paid the penalty, and then I receive it. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And so, to receive salvation this morning, to take that drink of water, to eat that piece of bread, to say, I do, to go through the door, you need to just pray something like this. Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died to pay for my sin. And now I'm asking, I'm receiving, I'm asking you to be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. And make me right with God. Doesn't have to be those exact words, but it needs to be something like that. Acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge the fact that Jesus paid for your sin. And trust him and receive him and ask him to save you. And he will do it. That's how every single person that knows Jesus this morning came to him. They believed and they received. Will you do that this morning? Let's pray together. Father, I pray for those in this service that don't know Jesus as their Savior. They've never taken that drink of water, never taken that bite of bread, never said I do to the great I am, and never have gone through the door. I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to them, that you would show them their sin. You would show them the penalty of that sin. You would show them the price that Jesus paid on Calvary. And this morning, they would make that decision to receive, to receive. They believe, but help them to receive this morning what Jesus did on Calvary. I pray for the Christians that are here. Thank you for reminding us, not only in the Lord's Supper, but in the message this morning, what we have in our salvation. What a wonderful, precious gift it is from you. Not of works. But all because of your mercy and all because of your grace. And Father, if there's something in our life as a Christian this morning that shouldn't be there, because we've been reminded of the love that brought us to you in the first place, help us to make some holy vows this morning to rid our lives of those things that are displeasing to you. If there's somebody here that you've led for baptism, help them to come. If there's somebody here that you've led to join our church, help them to come. But Father, just work in this time of invitation. Use it to build the kingdom of God. Use it to make us what you want us to be. Just bless it. Help us to be obedient as the Holy Spirit speaks. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.